The density of our bones and the amount of muscle tissue we have peaks at the age of just 30. Then it begins to diminish, though it's not usually noticeable until we get much older. As we lose muscle mass and strength, we become more prone to falls, and with thinner bones, those falls cause fractures. So is there a way to slow the decline or even reverse it? Stand by. Go Healthy for Good starts right now. Hello and welcome to Go Healthy for Good. Meet Alika, busy science executive, wife and mother. Watch.
I have 4 kids, so, you know, you wake up, you get the kids going, and you get going on your day working. I'm a director of resource management for a consulting firm, SSA and Company, so that becomes very demanding, and then the kids come home and you got to get all that going. So trying to get a workout in was tough. I'd try to go in the mornings to the gym, but just the motivation wasn't necessarily always there.
Daddy, hold pizza.
Is your smoothie good?
You're eating what the kids are eating. And a lot of times what I found is that whatever they left on their plate, I would end up eating that, you know, because I didn't want to waste the food. I would also, have my meal later because I've got to get them fed, and then now I'm eating. So now I'm eating even later, which, you know, causes the food to stay on my body even longer. We definitely did pizza at least once a week, which most families do. There was always, you know, spaghetti, lasagna, shells, different things like that. And then usually dessert. I had ice cream or brownies or something like that. My husband, number one, is 180 pounds and 6'1". So, you know, he was born fit, right? So he would always, you know, take the kids outside to play, and I always wanted to go, but I really couldn't. I'd be so tired. You know, if I got out there, I really couldn't run around with them. I couldn't do the different things that I wanted to do as a mom, and it was tough, you know. I'll never forget one day I was at Target with he's four now, but Zachariah. I was at Target with him, and he'd run off, you know, and I couldn't catch him. Just because I was so overweight and out of breath and just, you know, 323 pounds, I couldn't keep up. And someone else had to get my child for me. And you know, that's just a tough, you know, something really tough to face. That's a tough kind of blow when you can't really keep up with your family at all.
We'll hear more of Alika's story later on the show, get lots of tips from an enthusiastic exercise physiologist on how to keep our bones strong. We'll be reminded why to eat our veggies, and Sean will be working to give us strong bones and powerful muscles. But first, the news. In the headlines today, Mediterranean diet good for bones, read the label, and physical activity for bone health. A heart-healthy Mediterranean diet appears to be good for bones and muscles. Researchers from Brazil conducted bone scans on 103 postmenopausal healthy women with an average age of 55. Subjects completed a food questionnaire about what they ate in the past month. Those eating a Mediterranean diet had stronger bones and more muscle mass than those who did not. A separate study in Europe involved 1,100 seniors who were instructed to follow a Mediterranean diet and take vitamin D pills. At the end of 1 year, individuals who had osteoporosis prior to the study were found to have significantly less bone loss. Compared to a standard American diet, a Mediterranean diet has less saturated fat, dairy and meat, and more fruit, veggies, whole grains, potatoes, nuts and seeds. Marijuana stores do not seem to understand the limits on cannabis use in pregnancy. Colorado researchers called 400 marijuana outlets asking if they had any recommendations for a pregnant woman with morning sickness. A surprising 7 out of 10 vendors recommended that she use cannabis. That's alarming since warning labels on cannabis packaging and public service announcements say the opposite. there is no safe level of marijuana use in pregnancy. And besides, a doctor should be consulted before using any medicines or substances while pregnant or nursing. Yet less than 1 in 3 of the marijuana stores recommended consulting a doctor. So when you have questions about products, read the label or consult a reliable, well-informed source. A healthy weight and high levels of activity have been shown to contribute to even higher bone mass in young adults. Research in Spain investigated the nutritional status, nutritional habits, level of physical activity and bone status of 200 young adults aged 18 to 25. More physical activity and higher BMI was associated with greater bone mass, especially in men. Women had lower bone mass and were less active. Nutritional assessment suggested an intake of excess protein, excess fat, and excess phosphate, and insufficient calcium. So young people, be as active as you can, and remember that green leafy veggies are a great source of calcium without the fat, the protein, and the phosphate found in dairy. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's health news. The American College of Sports Medicine manages a global health initiative called Exercise as Medicine. And that's because exercise really is more powerful than medicine. That's why Exercise as Medicine, or EIM, is focused on encouraging healthcare providers to include physical activity in their prescriptions. Because physical activity prevents and treats many diseases. And today we're talking about the prevention and treatment of osteoporosis with Robin Stewart, VP for Exercise as Medicine at the American College of Sports Medicine. I asked her to explain osteoporosis.
Well, osteoporosis is a disease of the bones, when the bones are not as strong as they should be or could be. And in fact, when we talk about osteoporosis, most people think about an older person with a slumped over posture. But actually, clinicians say that osteoporosis is a pediatric disease with geriatric consequences. And that's because the prime bone building opportunity is frankly when we're young and growing and going through childhood and adolescence. That's a time when the body is really sensitive to loading on the bone and builds strong bone. And we only see the consequences of that later in life as we start to lose bone and we have less bone to start with.
So when do we get our peak bone strength? What age is that?
Well, we can develop bone up until about age 30.
Then it's all downhill?
Well, no. So we develop bone throughout childhood, and frankly, the period right around adolescence and puberty is the time when our bones are most sensitive to mechanical loading. So that's when we want to do running and jumping and playing sports where we turn and do changes of direction. That's where, when I have a patient with osteoporosis, I say, talk to your daughter, talk to your nephew, talk to your grandchild. Make sure that they engage in physical activity that they enjoy, whether it's dance or soccer or basketball or jumping or running. That's the time to really lay down bone. Now, once we reach adulthood, then we pretty much have our bone is stable. But then for women, once we go through menopause, in the 5 years after menopause, we start to lose bone at an accelerated rate for that 5 years. And then after that, we continue to lose bone at a rate of about 1% a year. So what we want to do at that point is hang on to the bone we have that we've built up. But again, that bone bank is really best built up in our younger years. So even though I can't build new bone very easily now, I can do what I can to keep it around.
And there's also the term osteopenia.
Yes.
What's osteopenia and osteoporosis?
So osteoporosis means you're at greater risk of fracturing your bone or breaking a bone. Osteopenia, or low bone mass, means that you've lost some bone strength and the structure of the bone is not as strong, but you haven't lost enough bone to osteoporosis, to the osteoporosis level, so you're not quite as high a risk for having a bone, a fracture, or if you fall, having risk of breaking a bone.
In the next segment, we'll find out how to prevent that happening, so stay with us. Though before the break, excuse the pun, check this out. Oh, hi, honey. Thanks for doing the shopping.
Oh, you're welcome. Is this a good kind of bread?
I don't know. What's in it? What's on the ingredient list?
Well, why does that matter?
Well, there are chemicals in our foods that I prefer not to eat.
Oh, really? Like what?
Like aspartame. It's in 6,000 items on our shelves. 200 million people eat it every day. It's a sweetener.
Oh, I love sweets. Give me some aspartame.
Well, you might not want it when you hear that some people think it causes headaches and tremors. Some people even think it causes brain tumors.
Ooh, yuck. So how do you tell if it's good or not?
Tell us what's in the bread.
Oh, well, let's see. The first ingredient is whole wheat flour.
Oh, that sounds good.
And then we have yeast, gluten, oil, honey.
Well, that all sounds great.
And then we have azodicarbonamide. You have to be a chemist to read this one.
If God made it, eat it.
If man made it, read it.
And if you can't read it, don't eat it. Doctor's orders. When I was a kid, I hated eating my veggies. I had food wars with my parents over dinner. Fortunately for me, they were very firm, immovable actually, and extremely patient. Eventually, I learned to love my veggies, and now I actually miss them. If I'm traveling and I can't find veggies, I really miss them. But you know, the veggies I hated the most, I now know are probably the most important. And that's these cruciferous veggies. Things like broccoli. Actually, that's not bad. And collie, I did like collie, but the rest of them I could easily leave. But you know, there's things like cabbage, and there are different kinds of cabbage, the red cabbage, the Savoy cabbage, plain cabbage, arugula, broccoli sprouts, and we'll talk about them a lot, radishes, bok choy, and a number of the Chinese greens, kale, and collard greens. Then there's also mustard greens and kohlrabi and turnips. There's probably some I'm missing. There are just so many in this class of vegetables. But you know, top of the chart would be these broccoli sprouts. They are just loaded. And the secret weapon in all of these greens is something called sulforaphane. It's an amazing phytochemical. And by the way, it's formed only when you chop the greens or you chew them. And that releases an enzyme that then triggers a chemical reaction to make sulforaphane happen. You can actually, but once you've cooked them, if you cook them straight away, you've lost that chance. So you can cheat by throwing some mustard seeds in when you're cooking the greens, and it makes them taste good too. Now, sulforaphane is known to have potent anti-cancer properties. That's probably what it's most famous for. And it's not just for preventing cancer. Some studies suggest it will reduce the recurrence of cancer. If you've had cancer, you've had your treatment, then you need to be having these cruciferous vegetables. It can also be used as an adjunct treatment for certain cancers, including stomach cancer, colon cancer, breast cancer, and prostate cancer. Now, sulforaphane is also an anti-inflammatory, so it helps with pain. So if you have chronic pain, another good thing to put on the menu. It's also a very powerful antioxidant. There was a rat experiment where they took two groups of rats. They fed one group a diet containing 2% dried broccoli sprouts for 10 days. Then they caused a temporary blockage to mimic a heart attack. And the broccoli sprout group appeared to have 80% less cell death and almost none of the oxidative stress that was seen in the control group. Now that's what I call cardioprotection. You know, the antioxidant power of sulforaphane gives it detoxifying properties as well. So it supports the liver in cleansing the body. And so if you have a sick liver or you just want to do a cleanse, then cruciferous veggies have got to be on your menu. Now it may also have a role in treating diabetes. One study suggested improvement in insulin resistance after regular consumption of broccoli sprout powder. It can also have an important role to play in treating the brain because if it's protective for the heart, it's probably also protective for the brain. Antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, and so it would be expected that it would help in early cognitive decline, impairment, and early Alzheimer's disease. They tried it with 40 patients with moderately severe autism, It was a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled trial of a sulforaphane-rich broccoli extract. It turned out there was a dramatic improvement in two-thirds of the broccoli sprout group. They had better behavior, energy, less irritability, and they were not as hyperactive as the other group. So include some cruciferous veggies on your menu every day. Look at how many options you have here and how many colors. You've got the red, the white, the green, you've got the sprouts, and they just all taste different. They go in different dishes. So make sure you have some every day if possible, at least half a cup. Weighing in at over 300 pounds following the birth of their daughter, Alika wanted to be a good role model to help her little girl grow up with a healthy body image. After losing 25 pounds by going to the gym with friends, the motivation evaporated. Then she bumped into Nadia, the wife of Go Healthy for Good's personal trainer, Sean Chevalier. Sean runs a boot camp called Hard Body Outdoor Fitness, and Nadia reminded Alika about that opportunity. Watch.
Nadia had mentioned Sean and Hard Body Outdoor Fitness, and she asked me to join, and I said, I don't know about that. They look like they're doing some hard stuff.
Here, squat down.
And she was like, just try it.
Walk it back. You got two rounds of that to get the 20, and then use the curb. You have your 15 dips.
So Sean texted us and said, hey, come on, you know, try it for a couple weeks and see how you like it. And so we went and we just never looked back. We've been going ever since. That was last November. And I remember telling Sean that by December, I wanted to be able to do a true burpee, you know? And he reminded me, you know, in December that, look, now I'm actually doing burpee, you know? When we first started, I was the last one in everything. If we were jogging, I was in the back because I was probably like walking and jogging or mostly walking. And then if we were doing push-ups, anything we were doing, I was usually toward the back of the crowd. And he was like, you know, he's like, just stop and take note of what's happening right now. And I'm like, well, what's happening? You know, I don't know what we're talking about. And he's like, you know, you're in the middle. He's like, there's a few people ahead of you and there's several people behind you. And you're in the middle of the pack. That's a huge gain. And just kind of highlighting those gains have been really important for me because it keeps you motivated and it keeps you going, you know?
Let's go, start with that back row. Down, yep, count it out. Make sure you let them work, yes.
Now it just seems normal to go to class to wake up at 4:45, you know, in the morning. I know it's crazy. It seems rather normal to do it now because we've been doing it for so long, and also, class has not necessarily gotten easier, but there's more things that I can do. Prior to going on this journey, I had really bad knees. I ended up with plantar fasciitis, so my feet, like major pain in my feet, my knees, my back bothering me constantly. Since I've lost the weight, you know, my knees, I don't have nearly as much pain in my knees. And then also my plantar fasciitis is getting a little better as well. That also, I had to, you know, not only lose weight, but do a lot of stretching and different things too to get rid of that.
Exercise gets rid of inflammation. Great medicine. I asked Robin Stewart what bone research tells us about how to build strong and healthy bones.
Yeah, so common sites are the wrist and the spine and the hip. And so when you hear more about people, you know, fracturing their hips, it's often with a fall. They break their fall with their hand, or they fall on their hip or their leg and they break the bone there. And then you'll see for osteoporosis in the spine, you'll see compression fractures in the spine that gradually allow the spine to move to bend forward, and so that's when you see that forward posture. So those are the three places that we most commonly see osteoporotic fractures.
What can we do to prevent osteoporosis from happening? You've mentioned the childhood piece.
Yes. So the big thing we can do is make sure that we load our bones give ourselves the kind of exercise that we need to promote bone strength, and also to have a diet where we get the kind of calcium and protein that we need. Those are the two, probably the two biggest factors that play a part in it.
And when we think about exercise, we think about building muscle. We don't think about building bone, do we?
No, that's right. A lot of the exercise recommendations are about developing a healthy heart and lungs, or, you know, developing strong muscles. And actually, developing strong muscles can play a very important role with bone. But when we talk about building strong bones, it's about stimulating those bone cells to get rid of the old cells and build new, strong ones. And that's a process. Even though we think of our bone as just like some rock, it's actually, bone is turning over constantly. And so we want to do the kinds of exercise that promotes that healthy cycle. So there's basically two kinds of exercise that we recommend for the bone. And first is weight-bearing exercise. So any time that you're doing an exercise where you're on your feet, maybe you're walking or jogging or jumping or dancing, any time where you're loading your, every time your foot hits the ground, there's a vibration that travels up those bones, and it helps, and those compression or the ground reaction forces allow the bone to realize, oh, I've got to be strong to hold, support myself up, so then you build more bone. So any exercise where you're on your feet, jumping and loading those, particularly the bones of the lower extremities or the legs, is something that's really good for bone.
So can you accentuate that by wearing a weighted vest or carrying weights? Or?
Yes, you can. We don't recommend carrying weights for things like walking and jogging, because if you think about how many times you swing your arms during walking and jogging, you could develop an elbow tendonitis or something. You don't need to do that. But there have been studies done with middle-aged women or premenopausal women where they had them engage in a program of strength training and jumping with weighted vests that allows to have more force on those bones. You would never start with a weighted vest if you hadn't already been building up your basic strength with a strength training program, however. But that can add additional challenge.
So how would you build up to a weighted vest? What would be your recommendation?
Well, the first thing you would do is do a well-rounded strength training program. So that would mean exercises for the upper body and for the upper legs and the lower legs. And actually, when you do a strength training program, that's a slightly different type of loading on the bone than this weight-bearing exercise. So weight training is different than weight bearing, because every time you, say, lift weights, say I'm lifting a weight here, every time that muscle contracts, it pulls on its bony attachment. And when it pulls on the bony attachment, it stimulates the bone to turn over, right? It says, oh, I need to be strong here. So weight training is site specific, which means that if I want strong bones in my legs, I need to do strength training exercises that involve the muscles around my legs, right? If I want strong bones in my arms, I need to do upper body exercises. If I want strong bones in my spine, interestingly, you want to have exercises that involve the core or center of your body. But even if you use arm exercises, the stabilizing muscles that go up and down your spine are called into play. So having a basic program of strength training exercises helps to provide a stimulus to bone that's different, but then it prepares you to do a higher intensity exercise as adding a loaded vest. So, for example, I might start someone out with just, you know, first of all, I'll say, how much do you walk, right? Because if you watch TV or you're at your desk all day, one of the best things you could do is just get up off the seat and start walking, and do that regularly, you know, 4 to 5 to 7 days a week. Maybe say 4 to 5, let's be more reasonable.
Realistic.
Be realistic, that's right. Okay, start walking, and maybe you just start walking at an easy pace, right? But the faster you walk, the more impact there is, and the more the muscles pull on the bones more strongly. So I would say maybe walk one block. Once you've built up to walking, say 20 or 30 minutes, you warm up for 10 minutes, and then you walk one block fast and then one block slow, or one block fast and then 2 blocks slow. So you give yourself some intervals where you're walking faster. Or maybe you pick a walking route where there's some hills, so you got to go up and down a little bit, and that will provide a different stimulus to the bone, right? Then I might move from and then you could put a weighted vest on. Once you have established a regular program at anything, then you can add more challenge.
So you're saying don't start with the weights.
No.
But at least once you've started, you can start adding weights.
You can start adding weight. You could start adding a weighted vest, but most people don't have access to a weighted vest.
Right, that's true.
So if you don't have access to a weighted vest, you start off with, and again, it depends on what your bone health is.
Yes.
So if you have osteoporosis, there's some things you might want to be careful about in terms of exercise. If you don't have osteoporosis, or maybe you have a family history and you want to build your bone strength up, or even if you have low bone mass, you still can do more aggressive types of strength training or exercise, because the more impact, the more force that the bone senses, the more it's going to adapt. Right? So you could do something like walk and jog, or you could do something like jump, or you could play volleyball where you've got to jump up at the net, or play basketball or soccer, or dance. You could, you know, turn on Dancing with the Stars and dance around. Which brings me to another point, actually, about exercise, and that is different forces against the bone are good for bone. It senses those forces differently and it gets stronger. So for example, if I do the same thing every day, all the time, in the same angle, that's not as good as if I
switch it up,
right? Which is why like aerobic dance classes are good, because you're moving side to side. Or soccer is good, because you've got to go to the right or left. Or even if you're playing tennis, you got to go back and forth and side to side. And those different angles of force actually are really good for helping bone become stronger. So that's something that you could add into what you're doing. And then maybe try some hops or jumps. But if you've got osteoarthritis in your knees or hips, or you've got something going on, jumping may not be something that you can do. If you don't, then hey, go, you know, do some things where there are some jumps and hops, because that gives more loading to those lower extremities or to those legs.
Before the break, here's the story of a man who would certainly have had osteoporosis in his arm. Many years ago, a man had a paralyzed or palsied hand. It was his right hand too. Perhaps he'd had a stroke, maybe even he'd had Erb's palsy, but either way, everyone knew him by his handicap. One Sabbath, he was sitting in the synagogue, listening to Jesus teaching. Suddenly, Jesus pointed to him and asked him to stand up and come forward. Never one for the limelight, he did stand up and tried to cover his paralyzed right arm as it hung limply by his side. Jesus had chosen him to demonstrate that healing and acts of kindness were part of God's plan for Sabbath keeping. "Sir, stretch out your right arm," said Jesus. The man had never been able to lift this arm, but he made the effort, and suddenly he had full feeling, free movement, and strength he'd never known in this right arm. He was healed. He forgot that he was in front of the crowd. He kept staring at his hand with wonder and joy. The Lord of the Sabbath had brought healing and restoration on the Sabbath day. So can you and I. Endurance, strength, balance and flexibility, they're all part of the fitness equation. So join us and let's build them together, right, Sean?
That's right. Endurance, I love endurance. And it's really being able to hold a position for a long period of time and be able to execute the exercise, right? So today we're going to do some isometric holds. The isometric hold means that you stay in a static hold position, let's just say like a hold position, before you do the actual exercise. Almost like exhausting the muscle before you get started, really helping you build the strength in the muscle. So we have 3 exercises today that we're going to use isometric first and then go into the exercise. It's challenging, but definitely doable.
Okay.
All right, let's go into your deep lunge, knees down, okay? And what I want you to do is really just rock back and forth, okay? Rock back and forth. Open up your hips, because what we're going to do today, allowing us to hold those positions. I really want our hips to feel nice and pliable. All right, switch. Left side, open and close. Close. All right, feet up. Let's go here. Let's open up our hips, go left to right. Make sure you feel good. And this is preparing you to have a really good isometric squat that we're about to do first, okay? The isometric squat, again, a hold position before we go into the squat movement, all right? What I want you to do is get now down nice and low and hold it. If I were to set a timer, I would say 15 seconds. You hold this position to the best of your ability, keeping your core nice and tight. From this position, once that 15 seconds is up, then you have 30 seconds of work going right into your squats itself, all right? So let's imagine in 3, 2, 1, go right into your squats, all right? So 15 seconds of the isometric hold followed by 30 seconds of the squat. Okay?
Makes the squat feel relief.
It does. It does. It's a weird thing, right?
Yeah.
But this is a great way to build strength in our legs or any body part.
Man, that's a real workout.
It is. In 3, 2, and 1. So that again, that's your isometric squat hold followed by your squat.
Right.
Well, we're going to take that same concept and we're going to do it to your most favorite exercise.
Oh, no.
It's your favorite exercise, I know.
No. Push-ups.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Since the day we met, you know how much...
It's a love-hate relationship.
Oh, so I'm not alone. Other people have this.
So, since we're going to start in this isometric hold position, we're going to start on our knee, make sure that our hips are engaged, all right? And we're going to go halfway down. Again, set the timer for 15 seconds and hold this position right there. All right, hold it, hold it, hold it. Imagine the timer goes off in 3, 2, 1, start your push-ups. There you go. You're activating the muscle. Give me 1. Come on, 2. Come on, 3. One more. Yes, and 4. Holding that position for 15 seconds and then 30 seconds of the push-up. It is a great way to torch the body.
Torture, yeah. I'm glad you used that word.
All right, so let's go into this. Left leg is here. This is your split squat. We're going to start here. 15 second hold where the knee is almost touching the ground. Chest roll back. You hold that position for 15 seconds.
And if you can't get that low, go
as low as you can,
right?
Right. You got to start somewhere, right?
Exactly.
Engage. All right. And now you go into your pulse almost as if you're doing a split squat. Don't hold on too much here. That's cheating. And I'm watching. 3, 2, 1, let's get the other side. Hold it, hold it, hold it. The legs are gonna be on fire. They're gonna wake up. All muscle fibers are coming to life.
They are.
They are.
They're more than coming to life. They're about dying.
And let's go right into it. Let's go. Perfect. So these three exercises, when you combine them together with an isometric hold, will challenge you for a good amount of calories in a little bit of time. We are all press for time, so it's a great way to maximize it.
And we only need, they say, 2 sessions of 20 minutes a week. Well, spread that 40 minutes through the week.
You know. You go. 3, 2, and 1. Perfect. Shake out those legs. Let's bring that right leg all the way back here. Stretch your quad because I know after the squat hold, finishing up with the split squat hold, your quads are going to be on fire. So point your knees down or knee down. Pull the heel of your sneaker close to your glute. In 3, 2, 1, switch. Same thing, relax. Point the knee down. This opens up your hip. This stretches your quad. All right, if you feel like you're doing this, hold on to something. 3, 2, 1, and you are done.
Whew. Thanks, Sean.
You're very welcome.
What could you do with an extra 5 years? Earn a degree, visit the 7 modern wonders of the world, or kiss your great-grandchild's cheek. You can do a lot in 5 years. 5 years is the difference that researchers found in the life expectancy between vegetarian and non-vegetarian Adventists. The Adventist Health Study found that vegetarians lived 5 years longer than their non-vegetarian counterparts. Adopting a vegetarian diet could add 5 years to your life and is another ageless advantage.
Well, it's time for your questions. And here's the first question. It comes all the way from Brisbane. Can a thyroid issue affect the bones after 60 years of age? Yes, it can. Too much thyroxine, whichever way you get it, is associated with osteoporosis. So that can happen if you over-treat hypothyroidism or if you have an overactive thyroid that's not treated. So either way, you should be seeing your doctor for regular thyroid levels so that you know you're on the right dose and you can avoid the osteoporosis. Here's the next question. Margaret asks, what's the difference between osteoarthritis and osteoporosis? Well, osteo simply refers to the bones. So osteoporosis literally means the bones becoming porous or fragile and prone to break. And that is measured by a bone density scan. It's painless. You just lie in a scan machine and it will tell you how dense your bones are and they'll measure them at different points in your body. Osteoarthritis is diagnosed by x-ray. It's a degenerative disease where the cartilage or the cushion between bones at a joint is worn down, it thins, and that can be from chronic inflammation or simply from overuse. And so it leaves the bones exposed, and that can be a very painful condition. And our last question, someone called in, I have osteoporosis and I drink one diet soda a day. Do you think the drink could be contributing? Research tells us that yes, there is a link between soda and osteoporosis. Now, it may be that the carbonated drinks contain phosphoric acid, and that will leach the calcium out of our bones as it's excreted. The other thing that could be contributing is that some sodas contain caffeine, and caffeine does the same in that it leaches calcium out of the bones. So that's kind of soda can be a double whammy. But we're not absolutely sure how it happens, but there's definitely a link between the two. Thanks for those questions. Great questions. Remember, you can leave your questions for us at our phone number or by text, email, or on Facebook. Join our Facebook community, and then you'll have little health tips, nuggets, even videos sometimes. Now, let's head down to the store and see what's on offer. Apparently, the children of Israel didn't eat mushrooms because the Egyptian pharaohs kept them for themselves. And the Romans, well, they legislated that mushrooms were food for the gods. However, with modern farming methods, mushrooms are available to everybody all year round. There are two types of mushrooms. There are the common variety like the portobello, crimini, button mushrooms, brown mushrooms, and then there are the Asian mushrooms like the shiitake, such as this one, maitake, enoki, oyster, and many more varieties. The Asian mushrooms, they're said to have anti-tumor properties and immune enhancing properties, whereas the common mushrooms do not have those. However, mushrooms, they're rich in magnesium, selenium, and an array of B vitamins. They're also low in calories, so they're a great idea for weight management. And there's nothing like a large portobello poached in milk for a fantastic breakfast. Bon appetit. Today's guest is exercise physiologist Robin Stewart, VP for Exercises Medicine, a global health initiative by the American College of Sports Medicine. I asked her how she would design an exercise program for someone who's been diagnosed with osteoporosis.
Well, a strength training program should be for the entire body, right? So you want to do something for your arms, your legs, and for the core of your body, your back and your chest. There are a lot of ways to strength train. So strength training can be done with some dumbbells or some stretch bands in your home, right? It could be done with weight machines at a gym. Strength training could be done using your body weight. You could stand at the kitchen counter and push yourself back and forward, and you know, using your body weight as a challenge. So what you're trying to do is put your muscle through a motion that is challenging after somewhat between 8 to 12 repetitions so that the muscle feels a little tired and you don't know how many more you could go. And select exercises that represent all those parts of the body. And oftentimes we say, think of things that are what you might be doing and pull in real life. So I might be pulling things. I might have to push things. I might have to get up and down from a chair. So a partial squat might be represent something that I might have to do in real life. And same thing with a push, you know, a push-up or a rowing exercise. So just making sure that you have an overall program that's balanced is the best initial approach to take.
Now you said 8 to 12 repetitions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how many times would you repeat that?
Sure. So there are a lot of ways to put together a strength training program. Generally, we say you should do strength training exercises 2, maybe 3 days a week. And you want to do 8 to 12 repetitions of each exercise, and maybe do 1 to 2, even 3 sets, but 1 or 2 sets of each exercise. So that means do 10 repetitions, take maybe a 30-second break, and then do 10 more repetitions and do a 30-second break.
And then you can take that exercise as done for today.
That's right. That's right.
And then you would work all of your body.
Right.
And come back 3-4 days later and do the same or similar.
Right. You want to have 1 day in between strength training.
Okay.
And so however it works for your week, however you can fit it in. But if you can do 2 or 3 days, that's great. And one of the things for individuals that have osteoporosis is that you want to really make sure that you strengthen the muscles in your back to try to help with a nice upright posture, as well as stretch out the muscles in your chest. Because when we get real tight here, which is we're sitting a lot and
right.
You know, we're slumped over. And so we want to counteract that with our soft tissues as much as we can. So stretching out the chest a little bit. I like to do a doorway stretch where I put my hands on the doorway and I just lean forward a little bit and feel a nice stretch here. And that's a nice way to just improve my posture. And then doing something by, you know, taking a stretch band and squeezing my shoulder blades together and developing some strength in the back. Those are a couple of very simple postural exercises you can do to promote good posture and also be part of a strength training routine.
And this is also going to help function, isn't it? Just general everyday ability to do things.
Right, right. I mean, strength training is something that we recommend for everyone to do. If you have concerns about bone health, then you want to make sure that you probably challenge yourself. Know that the greater the resistance or the challenge that you give yourself, the more your bones are going to adapt, as well as your muscles. So you want to build up so you're doing a challenge that you think you can feel, but isn't too much, so that you're going to, you know, overload the muscles too much.
So you, instead of aiming for the 12 repetitions, you might be aiming for a little more weight at 8 repetitions, for example, if you know you have osteoporosis. Is that kind of what you're saying?
No. Well, again, it depends on the person. And there are some recent studies that have shown that actually people with osteoporosis can do very challenging weight training safely, because the problem is we don't want anybody to experience a fracture. But those studies have been done in a situation where they've been supervised and they have a specific regimen that and they've been taught good form and that they've had really good guidance on doing it. So if you're not working with, say, a physical therapist or an exercise physiologist who's trained in this area, then you just want to use good form, use standard strength training guidelines of, you know, 8 to 12 repetitions. You could do 10 to 15, you can do 8 to 10, but whatever number of repetitions you do, at the end of that 10 or 12 or 8, you want to make sure that you're starting to get fatigued, so it might be difficult to do another one. That's the ultimate goal. If you're starting from scratch, just do something, right? Just do something so you feel the muscles working, and then gradually every week add a little bit more challenge to what you're doing.
The best part of Alika's story coming right up, and more from Dr. Stewart, so stick around. At 323 pounds, there was no way Alika could catch her 3-year-old tearing through the store. It was a sobering moment that changed her perspective. With 90 pounds off in the first year, she was well on her way to reaching her goal of 140 pounds. Go Healthy for Good's personal trainer, Sean, runs a boot camp that Alika faithfully attends. Watch.
I've always been a bigger person. I mean, I was born 10 pounds, so I was never, you know, called thin in my life. But having 4 kids back to back and really picking up, you know, a substantial amount of weight, I didn't feel like me after a while. You know, it's just, You know, you can't walk around, you can't put on the same clothes, you can't really buy clothes in the store. Now it's kind of nice to be able to just buy things and you don't even have to try them on because you know they fit, you know? It feels good to be able to just go and run around and play with my kids. The other day we were playing the Justice League and I was Wonder Woman. We're running from room to room, you know, flying, you know, different things. And it's stuff that I couldn't do, you know, a year ago. You know, so I mean, it's a huge change for me. It's something that my oldest son, John, he's 9 now. One of the things that he said to me the other day was one of those Facebook quizzes that you do, and you can have you ask your child, you know, questions that, you know, what's mommy's name? How old is mommy? You know, things like that. So he did know my age, though my 6-year-old said that I was 14, and I was proud of that. Like, thanks, buddy. But when they asked, you know, what's mommy's favorite thing to do, and they said exercise, and I thought, oh my goodness, you know, like that's a huge change. Before they probably would have said watch TV. That's actually another thing that's changed. I don't watch TV anymore. I don't have time. You know, I literally used to watch probably 3 to 4 hours of TV a day. You know, so I'd get off of work, I'd have the kids going. I'd be cooking and have the TV on, or I'd be, you know, doing different things and the TV's always on, which showed them that, you know, the TV was something that we did all the time. Now, I don't really watch TV. The TV's not on. I forget that it's there. I would tell someone trying to go through a change to think about what motivates them. You know, if you're a mom, think about your children and what you want to show them and where you want to be for them. Or a dad even, you know, same thing. Or even other things that may motivate you, just being able to walk up the stairs without getting tired, you know? And so the first thing I would say to do is get up and go, you know, try it. Don't make excuses and build a blockage before you actually take your steps, you know? Because I noticed that I did that a lot. I'd either make excuses or come up with reasons why I couldn't instead of reasons why I could, you know? I could get up and go for a walk, so why wasn't I, you know? And I would say make changes with food too, because what I've noticed is that you don't drop as much weight if you just do the gym. You have to, like, food is like 80% of it.
Food is 80%, but exercise will strengthen your resolve to eat the right things at the right time and in the right amount. In the previous segment, we were discussing an exercise program for someone with osteoporosis. Here are a few more recommendations from today's guest, Robin Stewart.
Well, I would say, yes, we generally recommend that you avoid high-impact loading and also excessive, you know, twisting and explosive kinds of movements. And that's just because we are concerned about increased risk of fracture. But what I would say, after having said that, I would say if you have osteoporosis, the important thing is to talk to your doctor and say, look, I would like to do what I can to keep my bones strong, and ask for a referral to a physical therapist who works in this area, who can teach you some exercises for balance, for strength, for flexibility, and to give you some guidance on how to put a program together that matches you, you know, and what your level of health is, what your bone health is, that kind of thing, so that you can get started. And even if, frankly, if you have osteoporosis and there's not, and you can't see significant increases in bone strength, we know that strength training and weight-bearing exercise help reduce your risk of falling. And that alone is very powerful. Improving and balance exercises also. But even those alone can help keep you safe from another fracture, because you'll be able to move better, work better, do things around your home without having that risk of falling.
That's a really important point, because the risk of falls once you're over 65 is about 1 in 3.
Yeah.
So, to actually reduce that risk, Right. Let's say you make it 1 in 6, you've halved your risk of having a fall and a fracture.
That's exactly right. Plus, you can do what you want to do around your home, whatever that recreational thing is you do or whatever home projects you do, without being afraid that you're going to fall and hurt yourself. The stronger you are, the more confidence you have in your body, which you can get from being more physically active, that can help you do better.
Mm. Now, for someone who's already had a fall or fracture, what's your advice to them? Are they at risk of fracturing that same bone again, or are they, once that's mended well, are they good to go?
Well, if you've already had a fracture, you're at greater risk of having another fracture. So you want to make sure that you do all the right things that you can, right? You want to talk to your doctor about your options in terms of preventing another fracture. You know, you want to have that conversation about if there are medications you should be taking, exercise guidelines that you should do, nutritional things that you should be considering, so that you can give yourself the best possible chance to function and not to sustain another fracture. And you don't have to sustain another fracture, right? If you work on posture, work on your energy, your stamina, work on your strength, and also give your muscles and bones the energy and the nutrition they need to build and to remodel effectively.
So what might that nutrition piece look like?
Well, not being a dietitian,
right,
but I'll say we know that calcium is very important in terms of bone building and having adequate protein. So talk with your doctor or registered dietitian about looking at calcium and vitamin D, and am I eating enough in my diet? And before you think about taking supplements, really look at how you can get those nutrients from food, because we do know that nutrients from food often interact in a much more powerful way because of other substances that are present in those foods, and our body tends to handle them better. So looking at sources of calcium, for example, dairy products, certain dark green leafy vegetables, you know, finding out where those are in my diet and thinking of ways to make sure that I'm getting those needs met.
Absolutely, and if need be, a supplement.
That's right.
Though we're steering more towards food
than
supplements now, because we know that risk of cardiovascular disease.
That's
so
right.
So you don't want to overdo the it used to be everyone just took 1.5 grams of calcium, right?
That's right.
And now we know that's not the best advice. So we need to tailor those supplements.
Yeah, the dietitians that I've worked with have said you want to do as best you can to meet your, you know, nutrient needs with food. And you take a supplement only to bridge that gap that you might have if you're not able to meet those needs entirely.
Right. And we should be getting at least 1,200 milligrams,
1,200 to 1,500
in our diet, and then a supplement if we're not quite getting to that point.
That's right.
So we shouldn't be taking it all as a supplement.
No, usually we think more is better, but that's not always the case.
That's right.
Yeah.
So for someone who has osteoporosis and may have already had a fracture, you still would take them through an exercise program?
Absolutely. I mean, I would do that primarily, or the first reason I would do that is to help them prevent falling again. Because we know, it's very clear that if you increase your stamina, if you increase your strength, and you don't have to become, you know, a bodybuilder, muscle person, if you just increase your muscle's ability to be strong and also react a little bit more quickly, because some, you know, our reaction time tends to slow down as we age. So doing a variety of exercises that help us maintain our balance, improve our strength, is very important.
And is there anything that can improve our reaction time?
Well, there are all kinds of balance exercises that you can do. But if you're doing those balance exercises, responding, you want to make sure that you have someone guide you who can provide balance support if you need, if you get a little bit off balance, so you have a chair or a wall there or a person that can help you. And, you know, even simple things like walking with one foot in front of the other, you know, which has you a little bit, you know, you've got a smaller base of support there, can help. Or standing on one leg and, you know, having a chair nearby to make sure that you, you know, build up your balance. Or, you know, setting up a little course for yourself and walking around it. Again, having someone with you if you don't feel steady. But someone who understands about balance training can really, and many physical therapists have a great deal of training in this, can really help you put some exercises together that you could do around your home. You don't have to go to a special place for most balance exercises. They're very easy to do right at home.
So use everything from a chair to the kitchen sink to enable you to improve your balance and reduce your risk of falls. Use every opportunity to strengthen muscles and therefore bone as you move through your day. If you have kids, encourage them to do lots of jumping, skipping, and twisting. And that goes for you too, though if you've already got osteoporosis, take care and build up slowly. Eat plenty of cruciferous vegetables every day to get calcium and get the right amount of protein. Remember that exercise is medicine, not just for your heart and lungs, but for your bones and muscles too. So go out and build strong bones and powerful muscles today. Thanks for joining us on Go Healthy for Good. I'll see you next time.